The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com: Political Polarization and Its Impact on the U.S. Political Climate. This article was written by Nina Adkins. The United States has historically held a leadership position on the world stage. Yet, this influence is now facing mounting obstacles, for deep polarization has a chokehold on our nation. No longer just mere political squabble, polarization undermines our capacity to navigate domestic and international challenges and continues expanding due to partisan divisions and internal party strife. The emotional divide. The animosity between Democrats and Republicans does not solely lie in policy disagreements. Pew reported in 2014 that 27% of Democrats believe the Republican Party is a threat to the nation's well-being, with 36% of Republicans reciprocating the sentiment. Research published by the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace found that effective polarization, or emotional polarization, seems to stem primarily from three things: an individual's misconceptions regarding the policy beliefs of the opposing party, the thought that members from the opposing party dislike members of their party, and incorrect ideas surrounding the demographic makeup of the other party. People tend to stereotype and demonize the opposing party. A Republican might picture all Democrats as latte-sipping socialists, while a Democrat might envision all Republicans as golf-playing millionaires. These demonstrably inaccurate portrayals, as evidenced by Carnegie's studies showing a similarity in median demographics between the parties, paired with overestimations of ideological extremism, create a climate of distrust that makes compromise seem like surrender. Ideological divergence. The distance between the two major parties isn't just emotional. It's ideological. Pew Research Center discovered that Democrats and Republicans are more ideologically distant than they have been in the past half century, indicating a departure from centrist ideals that once bridged the partisan gap. Over the last 20 years, the percentage of Americans holding consistently conservative or consistently liberal views has increased from 10% to 21%. Party affiliation and ideology are now more intertwined than ever before. Consequently, there is less ideological common ground between the two major parties, with the majority of Republicans positioned to the right of the typical Democrat and most Democrats leaning to the left of the typical Republican. This divergence is not confined to rhetoric, but is evident in both parties' political platforms and legislative agendas. Republicans are witnessing a surge in social conservatism. In 2021, 60% of Republicans identified as socially conservative, a figure that rose to 74% by 2022. This rise in social conservatism is evident in numerous occurrences, such as the Supreme Court's, which is primarily composed of Republicans, decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, Florida's enactment of SB 254 under Governor Ron DeSantis, Republican Florida, which criminalizes health care providers offering gender-affirming care, and the Alabama Supreme Court's ruling that considers embryos created through in vitro fertilization as children, equating the destruction of an embryo to murder. On the flip side of the political spectrum, Democrats have passed more progressive legislation. The Respect for Marriage Act of 2022, led by Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat, Wisconsin, mandates that the federal government officially recognize legally performed same-gender marriages. While advocating for the legalization of same-gender marriage is not a new phenomenon, it contradicts the deeply held belief of many Republicans that marriage should solely be between a man and a woman. Minnesota's Democratic Party exemplifies the progressive agenda through policy advancements, including strengthening abortion protections, enabling pre-registration for driver's licenses for teenage undocumented immigrants, prohibiting conversion therapy, and other initiatives. Impact on domestic and foreign policy. In 2023, Congress passed only 27 bills, a record low. Party and intra-party divisions, particularly on issues like the Ukraine-Russia war, Israel-Hamas conflict, and U.S.-Mexico border security, have precipitated gridlock in Congress, weakening the American ability to respond effectively on the world stage. October 2023 saw a bipartisan effort in the Senate aimed to address border security by proposing a bill that would have bolstered the U.S. Border Patrol and ICE with 2,700 new agents and allowed the agencies to remove individuals without undergoing formal judicial review. In addition, it would have terminated catch-and-release practices, increased deportations, and stopped parole at the border. However, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, Republican, Louisiana's decision to forego a vote on the bill resulted in Senate Republicans retracting their support, fearing the political fallout of endorsing a measure unlikely to become law. Moreover, despite the Senate's proposal for a $95 billion package of aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, the House of Representatives refused to vote, largely due to Republican opposition. Interestingly enough, the GOP lacks a cohesive stance on foreign aid to Ukraine, with internationalist Republicans like Nikki Haley and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell advocating for aid, while the MAGA and more right-wing faction, consisting of people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, demand complete cessation of aid in favor of prioritizing domestic border security concerns. Similarly, the Israel-Hamas conflict exposes partisan divides within the Democratic Party. Most, in congressional positions, back Israel, but progressive voices call for a ceasefire and a shift in aid toward Gaza. President Biden's initial response to the war faced sharp criticism from progressive quarters within his party, and now public debates on certain resolutions related to the conflict are surfacing. For one, CNN reported that Representative Andre Carson, Democrat, Indiana, called Representative Josh Gottheimer, Democrat, New Jersey, a punk and cowardly, after Gottheimer wrote on X that Democrats who voted against the resolution supporting Israel and condemning Hamas were despicable. Challenges in maintaining bipartisanship. Simply put, what used to be bipartisan isn't. The President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, PEPFAR, enjoyed bipartisan backing for two decades, saving millions of lives in impoverished nations. That said, the program's reauthorization faces opposition from anti-abortion groups pressuring Republicans due to concerns about funding going through non-governmental organizations providing family services in recipient countries. This initiative used to be favored by both parties, but now its politicization is making room for a polarized debate. Another impediment to bipartisanship lies in the takeover of partisan media and echo chambers. A study of Berkeley political scientist David E. Brookman and Berkeley alumnus Joshua L. Kala of Yale University has revealed that 1 in 5 registered Republicans devote at least 8 hours per month to watching right-wing Fox News. Likewise, around 15% of Democrats indulge in a comparable amount of coverage on networks such as MSNBC and CNN. Shockingly, about 1 in 7 Americans consume over 8 hours of partisan media per month, surpassing both newspaper subscribers and viewership of nonpartisan national broadcast news. This extensive consumption of ideologically aligned news coverage perpetuates partisan divides by reinforcing pre-existing beliefs and limiting exposure to the opposing party's perspective. Lastly, the personalization of politics. Strong political affiliation is not just about policy. It has become central to thousands of people's self-image. From teenagers belonging to partisan youth groups like High School Democrats of America and the Youth Republican National Federation, to heated arguments erupting in everyday settings, political views are omnipresent. When political views start to define one's personhood, it only complicates bipartisanship and independent thinking. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Book ban fight in Nevada would create LGBTQ+ section of libraries. This article was written by Lizzie Ramirez on April 23rd. Before the Washoe County School District Board meeting began, the library filled up with locals eager to make their case. A group of older adults held hands in a prayer circle. Elsewhere in the room, younger members held signs opposing book censorship in Washoe County, Nevada's second biggest county. The proceedings dragged on for several hours until it was finally time for attendees to make their public comments. One of the first came from an older man wearing a University of Nevada, Reno hat. "Children are very impressionable," he said. "In today's society, their innocence should be protected, not exploited. Should pornographic materials be removed from children's access?" The man was there to speak out against drag queen story hours and in favor of a proposal to relocate books with LGBTQ+ content to a specific LGBTQ+ section of local libraries. Versions of this scene are currently playing out all around the country, which is undergoing an unprecedented wave of book censorship. During an election year, that's projected to be one of the worst in history for anti-LGBTQ+ legislation. Some conservative groups are continuing to rally against book bans and public drag appearances in the name of protecting children. "We need to understand that the goal is for people to be energizing their movements," Alan Ratliff, assistant professor at the School of Social Work at the University of Nevada, Reno, told Teen Vogue. The backlash in Washoe County, for example, was started by Nevada Patriot, a self-proclaimed conservative group that launched a petition stating, "This is not about banning books, but rather placing obscene and pornographic material in the public libraries into the adult section, and removing obscene and pornographic books from availability of minors." But Ratliff believes reshelving books to different parts of the library is just as harmful as banning them. "So, for example, there's a book called And Tango Makes Three. It's about two male penguins who adopt a baby penguin, and they have a little family. It's a children's book," Ratliff explained. Under the proposal, this book would be taken out of the children's section and would be moved to a specific section titled LGBTQ+. If people were trying to learn about LGBT things or read books with LGBT characters, they'd have to go to the section with a big sign over "This is LGBT" and really sort of out themselves, they said. Opponents of the proposal have spoken up too, with youth activists issuing a call to action and encouraging their peers to speak up. Local residents have sent dozens of emails to the school district expressing their concern with the restrictions on book access, while students have taken to Instagram to spread awareness of the situation. The drag story hours have also been a point of contention in Washoe County, as in so many other parts of the country. Hosted by the Washoe County Library System with support from Our Center, Northern Nevada's LGBTQIA Community Center, the program is billed as a family-friendly event where members of the LGBTQ+ community can feel supported and safe. Stacy Spain, executive director of Our Center, explains that the organization helps create a fun environment for kids. "What we do is get lots and lots of very excited and very energetic volunteers to come help make sure that the kids entering the library, the families entering the library, feel safe and supported," Spain explained. "We make sure that we have fun activities outside of the library to draw attention to inclusive practices around literacy and to celebrate LGBTQ community." Though it's intended to be a safe space, families have been harassed while waiting in line. "We have observed people in the public videotaping and filming children, trying to get right in the child's face and get right in the parent's face in a way that makes the families very uncomfortable," Spain expressed. In response, Our Center launched the Rainbow Umbrella Brigade to combat the harassment from the families. Volunteers use colorful umbrellas as shields from the perpetrators, and it helps distract the kids. Opposition to the events comes from a very small but very vocal group, Spain said, noting that the library rarely spends money on the program, while Our Center pays the performers and buys the arts and crafts for the kids. Both Ratliff and Spain say efforts to protect kids by restricting access to LGBTQ+ materials and activities actually end up further marginalizing LGBTQ+ youth. Silver State Equality, Nevada's statewide civil rights organization, released a report featuring data collected in 2023 from student surveys and listening sessions from students in 7th through 12th grade. About 32% of students reported they are not allowed to use their chosen name at school. Additionally, about 19% are not allowed to wear gender-aligned clothing. 60% reported being bullied and teased for being part of the LGBTQ+ community. "The school climate right now is very toxic and mentally taxing," one Nevada high school senior pointed out in the report. About 75% of students say their school has inadequate resources for LGBTQ+ students. Additionally, about 38% have never learned about LGBTQ+ history, been assigned books, or heard stories or people from the LGBTQ+ community. "I feel as though there needs to be more education and speaking in schools about LGBTQ+ issues and learning about LGBTQ+ history," a high school freshman expressed in the report. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Trans Day of Visibility. We're speaking out for our rights. This article was written by August Decker, Desi Desmond is Amazing, Jazz Jennings, Caden Asher, Lake Gislani, Sammy Namir, and Percy Batista Pedro. And there is a note. In this op-ed, trans youth and adults hashtag speak out for Trans Day of Visibility as part of Lambda Legal's campaign to elevate trans and non-binary voices. As youth and adults who are transgender and non-binary, Trans Day of Visibility is profoundly significant to us, and this year, it comes at a particularly challenging time for our community. It's a day that transcends visibility. It's a celebration of community, resilience, and the profound power of being seen for who we truly are. It's a day when all of our voices deserve to be heard. Unfortunately, our voices are often silenced or marginalized. We are told our identities are not valid or that we are not allowed to be ourselves. And in the news and social media, there is so much misinformation and negativity about us and our community. We want the world to see us for who we truly are and to understand that trans and non-binary people are humans, just like anyone else. At a minimum, we deserve respect and dignity. We want to reclaim our narratives and hashtag speak out against the injustices other trans and non-binary people, youth like us, are struggling with. We are making ourselves visible by amplifying our voices on social media and joining lawsuits with organizations like Lambda Legal to push back against the attacks on our communities. While the narratives about us are largely about the attacks against us, the reality is that we're just like anyone else, trying to live our lives in a way that is best for us. We laugh, we cry, we go shopping. We have families, we have friends, and we have pets. We are writers, we are scientists, we are artists. We are someone's children, we are someone's siblings, we are someone's partner. Like any other human being, we matter. Every day, we wake up to more news about more bills and policies targeting our lives, attempting to block us from getting the medical care we need, from participating in school activities, in sports, and even from using the bathroom. This anti-LGBTQ plus legislation saddens us and makes us feel hopeless and dehumanized. Being seen as less than others hurts so much. From facing discrimination and bullying, to navigating societal prejudices and even justice, the journey towards visibility is often fraught with obstacles. Despite these challenges, we persist, driven by the belief that every individual deserves to live authentically and be accepted. This Trans Day of Visibility comes in the midst of heartbreak following the tragic death of teenager Nex Benedict. This tragedy touched us very deeply and personally. We, too, have faced bullying at school and online, and have seen so many of our trans and non-binary siblings struggle with harassment and violence. We don't want to hide. We just want to be ourselves. We want to be welcomed as who we are and who we want to be. We, better than anyone else, understand who we are, our bodies, and what we want in this world. Everyone deserves to be visible, to be seen, to be loved, to be proud, and to thrive. We just ask you to allow us to be ourselves, to be happy, to grow up in peace, and to be free. It's a basic right, and the least we can do for each other. To trans youth, we want to say you are loved, you are beautiful, you are worthy, and everything is going to be okay. We have each other, we support each other, and there is a big community out there that embraces, welcomes, and even loves you. You are not alone, and your journey is valid and deserving of respect and support. Embrace your truth, for it is our greatest source of strength. We love you. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Zendaya and Tom Holland once got out of a speeding ticket because of Spider-Man. This article was written by Ashley Carter on April 21st. Zendaya and Tom Holland's star power can do just about anything for them, including getting them out of a speeding ticket. Zendaya made a recent appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live on April 18th as part of her press tour for her most recent film, Challengers. At one point in the interview, host Jimmy Kimmel asked Zendaya if she had ever gotten a speeding ticket, which she denied, but said that she and her boyfriend Tom Holland had been pulled over before. "I've gotten close," Zendaya said. "Tom and I were rushing to a spin class with my mother. I was not going to do the spin class. He was going to do the spin class 'cause I don't do that." Zendaya then alluded that they were pulled over, though it's unclear who was driving the car. "We were going a little fast. We were running late," she continued. "They recognized that he was Spider-Man, and we were fine. We got a warning, and everything was okay." "Well, he's a crime fighter," Kimmel joked. In preparation for the new movie, Zendaya said she had to give her family a heads up about some of the more steamy scenes in Challengers. The film surrounds Zendaya's tennis pro main character, who finds herself in a tense love triangle with two men, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Faist. In her interview with Kimmel, Zendaya joked that she warned her family when the scenes were coming up. "I know when the scenes are coming. So basically when those scenes were happening, I was watching. They were behind me, so I just watched them the whole time. It was hilarious," she continued, explaining that her teenage nieces were the most uncomfortable by the film. Zendaya has been delivering tennis-inspired looks all throughout her Challengers press tour, including tennis ball heels, a custom tennis gown, and a dress inspired by Venus and Serena Williams's 1998 Vogue photoshoot. The actor and her stylist extraordinaire, Law Roach, have been known for creating the ultimate on-theme looks for whichever project she is currently promoting. Zendaya's endless ensembles for Dune 2, which premiered on March 1st, were also iconic. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.